Blog Talk Radio.
And now a brief message from our sponsor. Reality Books presents Booker T. Washington and the Black Revolution. The author is Marshall Washington Cabinus Abui, the senior great-grandson of Booker T. Washington. Booker T. Washington and the Black Revolution, a message that will change America. Buy your copy today. $20 is all it costs, plus $5 postage and handling. To order your copy of the book written by the great-grandson of Booker T. Washington, Booker T. Washington and the Black Revolution, send a text message. Include your full name and how many books you would like to purchase. Send to area code 706-399-5006. Booker T. Washington and the Black Revolution. A message that will change America. Send your text message, including your full name and how many books you would like to purchase, to area code 706-399-5006. A brief word from our sponsor, Reality Books, publisher of Booker T. Washington and the Black Revolution. A short extract from the book, Booker T. Washington and the Black Revolution. God will not change the condition of a people until they change what is in themselves. In other words, until they change their way of thinking. Booker T. Washington and the Black Revolution is designed to help African Americans and other ethnicities change their way of thinking. This is a book that will change America, and it is on sale for only $20 plus $5 postage and handling. You can order your book now by sending a text message to area code 706-399-5006. Please put your name and the number of books that you would like to order, and you will be contacted to arrange payment information so that the book can be mailed to you immediately. So please go ahead and don't hesitate. Order your copy today. Booker T. Washington and the Black Revolution, published by Reality Books. The author of this book is the great-grandson, the senior great-grandson of Booker T. Washington, the founder of the famous Tuskegee Institute in Alabama, now known as Tuskegee University. The great-grandson of Booker T. Washington is inviting you to order his book. Send a text to area code 706-399-5006. The book is only $20 plus $5 postage and handling. Order your copy today. Thank you.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome again to Booker T. Washington African American Family Room Forum. We hope that all of you had an enjoyable and safe Thanksgiving holiday, those of you who celebrate the Thanksgiving holiday. And I did, my wife and I did, and I thank God for her. She prepared us a wonderful traditional Thanksgiving dinner, and we're still eating the leftovers, which are still delicious. And more importantly, we've been enjoying some quiet, quality family time together, just the two of us. And we did have the opportunity to speak with some of my extended family members via Zoom on Thanksgiving Day, and that was very pleasant. And so all of you, we want to welcome you to this program tonight. And we're going to begin, first of all, as we always do, by first of all welcoming our co-host and asking Ms. Pianchi for a radio check. Ms. Pianchi, how do you hear me tonight? Okay, Ms. Pianchi, may have slipped away for a minute.
Ms. Pianchi, I hear you like happy holidays.
Happy holidays to you. Yeah, I put my little jingle bells. I have a little metallic jingle bells wreath that my wife doesn't know because she hasn't been outside since I did it the day after Thanksgiving yesterday out there on the front of our house, just to let people know that we are thankfully here and fortunate and in good health and ready to celebrate the holiday spirit. So tonight we do have a topic that I want to introduce, but bear in mind that we don't have to stay on this topic. Once we go around and get your comments, if you want to give a comment on this topic, you can introduce another topic of your liking. So just know that this is just to start the show off. But I do want to welcome everyone. It appears that Brother Sheikh John Kenan Bey is with us tonight, as well as my dearly beloved sister-in-law, Sister Stephanie. And also, I believe that is, if I'm not mistaken, Brother Umore. But if I am mistaken, then when we get around to asking everyone to chime in, the brother from the 504 area code, last three digits 756, you can correct me and identify yourself. But again, we do have this topic we're going to begin the show with, and this is the topic. Do you believe that the United States Supreme Court, under the umbrella of freedom of religion and freedom of speech, should deprive state governors of the power to establish restrictions to protect their citizens from pandemic health threats? I chose this topic because this was in the news just a day or so ago, and I felt it would be worthy of a discussion. We are entering into another very dire period, it seems, in the history of this pandemic. I understand that the numbers of deaths have exceeded 260,000 people since February. You know, that's over five times the number of people that were killed in the Vietnam War in a stretch of 10 years, and approaching about half the number of people that were killed in 4 years in the very gruesome Civil War battles. So just in the last few months, since February, the pandemic has claimed the lives of 260,000 plus Americans, and it's not slowing up at all. They're hoping that the vaccine will be deployed maybe sometime before the end of the year, but it will probably be another year before everyone is vaccinated, and they still don't know, even once you've been vaccinated, if that's going to really stamp out the contagion of the virus. So we're in for some dark days ahead, especially combined with the normal flu season fatalities and the illnesses from pneumonia as well. So we have a lot to be thankful for, if we are healthy ourselves and if we haven't lost anyone. So just here recently, the state of New York was told by the Supreme Court that it is unconstitutional for the governor of the state of New York to impose restrictions on the number of people that can attend religious services during this pandemic or any time. And of course, you know, the purpose of doing this restriction was to keep the virus from spreading. I'm going to move on and invite my co-host to come on in just a second, but I want to end my opening commentary by saying this, that I'm the pastor of a Muslim congregation at Fort Gordon, the military base here in Augusta, Georgia, and I've been in this role now for practically 20 years. In fact, it's over 20 years. In 2001, so it will be 20 years coming up this spring, but in 2001, I assumed the responsibility of pastoring the Muslim congregation at Fort Gordon, and without fail, except for maybe one time, but generally I would say without fail, in those 20 years up until April, we never failed to have our Friday service, our traditional Friday worship service. And then in April, I was told by the representative of the commander of Fort Gordon that we could no longer meet in our group setting because of the pandemic. And I still have received the green light to resume our group of congregational meetings. Maybe this Supreme Court ruling may change that, and we can go back to having our services as we have had for many years. But the fact of the matter is that the state of New York has been fortunate to have been able to put a clamp on the raging virus infections. But this is just one issue, because the bars are still open now, and the nightclubs are still open now, and the gyms are still open now. And I do have an issue with them allowing people to congregate in nightclubs and not go to church. But the Supreme Court said you can't restrict people from being able to gather in groups to go to church. So what is your opinion, Ms. Bianchi?
Well, Mr. Washington, Hamdulillah Iman Washington, the First Amendment of the U.S. Constitution is very clear in giving a directive to Congress where it can't make a law that's respect an establishment of religion, but more importantly, prohibiting the free exercise thereof. And your lesser courts or your lesser governments cannot produce a law more stringent than the federal law. Local communities, municipalities, cities and towns cannot produce a law more stringent than the state law. And I don't understand why come governors like the one in New York cannot understand that. It's clear as the nose of the fly on the wall. So no, it's very good. You know, all our rights come from the universe. Some people describe that entity as God, respectfully so. So using that term, God gives you all the rights that you could possibly have. Only man in a country that has a governing body can issue laws, decrees that take away those rights. And that's why come we have that 26-page document called the U.S. Constitution, marvelously created and well understand, used by many countries around the world when time comes for them to revise theirs. Well, your document, Iman Washington, is sitting right there on the desk as a guidance. So I say the court done as it should, but the governor should have known better. Thank you, sir.
Okay, well, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate you opening up our discussion with that very illuminating commentary. And now we want to move around the room, so to speak, virtual room. And the next person that I see that is with us is Sheikh John Kenan Bey. Sheikh John Kenan Bey, what are your thoughts? Sheikh John Kenan Bey, I believe that is your number. If I'm mistaken, let me go ahead and ask the person at 678, last three numbers, digits 206. What are your thoughts? Okay, we're going to keep moving around and come back. So, Sister Stephanie, you've heard my introduction. You heard Mr. Pianchi's comments. What are your thoughts on the topic? Sister Stephanie,
hi, how is everyone? Happy holidays.
Happy holidays to you. I hope you're well. But what do you think about the topic?
Well, I think it's just going to be a whole lot of controversy. You know, people are going to act like they can't understand that this is only for their own good, for their health and safety. It is kind of unconstitutional, but sometimes we got to bend some. Especially when it's for a life's sake, I'm all for it. Yes, they need to. We just gonna have to go on and have a shutdown until we can learn to social distance and wear these masks and work on the cure. You know, before we're all catching that stuff, but. I believe in what the governor is trying to do for our own good. Thank you.
Okay, well, thank you. We're going to move around. I do want to insert one thing. One of my favorite actors is a gentleman by the name of Richard Schiff, S-C-H-I-F-F. I first became acquainted with Mr. Schiff several years ago when I began to watch the program on television called West Wing, starring Martin Sheen and a number of other actors and actresses that you may not be familiar with, but Richard Schiff played a very important role in that movie, and I like his acting style, and so I hadn't really kept up with him until I saw this past week that he had COVID-19. He's still recovering. He's not completely out of the woods yet, but he is out of the hospital, so the worst has passed. But he said this is not something you want to get, because he was in dire straits. And so that basically prompted me to look up his show. I didn't even know that he was on a weekly TV series on ABC called The Good Doctor. And so this evening I went ahead and I pulled up that show on my TV. And it just so happened, I didn't expect this. I didn't know it was going to be this way, but it just so happened that this particular show was talking about the beginning stages of the COVID pandemic, going back to February when people were just starting to come down with it and go into the hospitals. At that point, the hospitals were not overwhelmed, and people were just learning how devastating that this pandemic will be and is, and trying to get a handle on treating the people. They were just beginning to try to find out how much PPE they would need and other equipment to help save lives. and seeing the scenes, and this is my point, seeing the scenes of these hospitals as people came in there and they almost immediately went into ICU where they had to, in many cases, have intubation and have ventilators to assist them to be able to breathe and to live. And even though I had been reading about this and I had seen some clips on the news of some of these hospitals, you know, to watch, you know, long scenes of these hospital environments, albeit they, you know, it's a TV set, but still it's replicating the reality. And I said to myself, I said that this is certainly more serious than a lot of people are making it out to be. And those people who have lost loved ones, they can tell you not to be able to go and visit your loved one when they're in their final stages of life and at least tell them you love them, tell them goodbye. In some cases, maybe repair some damaged relationships and not to be able to have that opportunity because they don't allow visitors into these ICU areas when they have COVID patients in there. So it's a lot going on that it seems that Americans are not willing to take seriously. But I take it very seriously because my wife and I both are very vulnerable because not only of our age, but because of pre-existing health conditions. And then I have a stepdaughter who is still recovering from COVID. Fortunately, she didn't have to go on a ventilator, thank God. But she and her daughter both are recovering from COVID. So, you know, I'm praying for them every day and trying to do everything I can along with my wife to keep it from coming into our home. So this is a serious issue. So we're going to move we're going to ask our next guest. I'm going to go back and ask Sheikh John Kennebay if he's returned to the phone. Sheikh John Kennebay, have you heard us? Were you able to hear me invite you to speak?
No. I tell you the truth, I might have gone to sleep.
Yes, sir.
Because I was a little tired. I made a trip yesterday to Florida. I just got back today. Yeah. I heard a lot of the conversation. I don't have much to say. I'm paying attention to the state right issue as opposed to federal rights, and aware of a lot of things that have been kind of creeps into the national conversation, starts from the state level. But other than that, I'm just listening. I have no other comments about that.
Okay. Well, we're probably only going to go for 1 hour tonight because of the holiday and the activities and everything, taking into consideration, you know, the fact that you were traveling and others may not have traveled but may have been busy with activities during the holidays. So we'll probably wrap up about 9 o'clock. We'll just see how it goes. But I'm glad you returned or you arrived safely, you know, wherever you may be. And glad to have you on the show tonight. And of course, our next guest, I wasn't sure. I thought it was Brother Hugh Moore, but I don't know if that is you. So if it is you, Brother Hugh Moore, I want to invite you to make a comment. If it's not you, I want to invite the person whose phone number begins with air code 504, last three digits of 756. What are your thoughts tonight?
Greetings. This is Brother Warren from New Orleans, and I called Mr. Washington because I had gone through the shows for seven, and I read which topic was about. And interestingly enough, I had been doing research myself on that case in New York, and that's why I thought I'd chime in there. I had a nice, peaceful, safe Thanksgiving holiday. I did some cooking, and some people got my food and left. And I got a coon in a refrigerator marinating in Italian dressing, and I'm going to parboil it tomorrow and some crab oil and then bake it with some sweet potatoes while I watch the Saints football game tomorrow.
Well, so, Brother Warren, welcome to the show. Thank you, thank you. I'm so glad to have you there. But, you know, when you mentioned about that coon, you know, I have one of these memories, believe it or not, that actually connects with the ancestors, and I go back to the slave days when me and a couple of my friends had escaped from the master, and we was fortunate to to be in some woods that had coons in there. And so we celebrated Thanksgiving once we got far enough away from the master where he couldn't see our fire, our cooking fire, by cooking a coon. And we even found some nice, roots that we were able to make a little sauce with to put on that coon. So, you know, I feel you, brother. I'm glad to have you with us tonight.
Yeah, my father and brother, they went coon hunting last night. And in Louisiana, there's no bag limit on coons. So this morning I cleaned about three of them and gave them to some relatives. But I got one myself. I'm going to do tomorrow. But anyway, what I was looking at, this case called Brandenburg versus Ohio, the 1969 decision of the U.S. Supreme Court. And what it's looking at, it says the court held that the government cannot punish inflammatory speech unless that speech is directed to inciting or producing imminent lawless action and is likely to incite or produce such action. So in other words, you can't yell fire in a crowded theater, okay, because it produced. Now, I don't know if you remember this. Of course, you wasn't born. Your great-grandfather spoke in Birmingham at the Shiloh Baptist Church in 1902. And after he finished, the choir, there was some little scuffle in the choir. Somebody said, fight, fight, but they thought he said fire. And it was a stampede where 100 people got killed. Did you know about that one, Mr. Washington?
No, sir, I did not know about
that. That was at the Shiloh Baptist Church in Birmingham. And now, what's my point? When we go to the Supreme Court and it's COVID, okay? COVID is like the actual foreign invader on American soil killing Americans. It's like you're in a state of war, okay? And crowding up, whether it's in church, whether it's in the club, or family gathered up in the house and all this kind of stuff, is helping the enemy destroy American life. So it is unpatriotic and hypocritical of these patriots to know that there is a virus called the pandemic worldwide where over 260,000 Americans have died. And it's not even a year. A year hasn't even come upon us. And it's still dying. And we know the science has the recommendations on how to mitigate this stuff. But the confused patriots, the hypocritical patriots, as I call them, are the treasonous patriots, choose to pretend like they can't discipline themselves, like they preach discipline to other people on what to eat and all this other kind of stuff, while people get sick from the virus, fill up the hospitals. We only have so many hospitals in this country. We only got so many beds in these hospitals. The frontline healthcare workers are exhausted, burned out. Some of them are getting sick and die. And so I think the decision of the Supreme Court was foolish on their part, and the proof is in the pudding. As the deaths continue to increase and as the infection rate go up, it is showing that American patriotism is not saving them.
Well, I appreciate that comment. Did you want to say more? I'm going to insert something if you're finished, but please continue if you wanted to say more.
No, I'm looking in the refrigerator at this coon marinating in the Italian dressing. I'm going to be able to sink my teeth in him tomorrow.
Tomorrow, okay. Well, you know, I say good eating to you, and whoever you may have to join you, something I'm sure you probably would like to have at least one person to enjoy your great cooking. And,
oh, they go. Yeah, what I do is when I cook, I just make plates, and they come get the plates. I don't like to be, because my dad is 93 years old, and I don't want to be exposing my daddy. So let me tell you one more thing, too. We had an incident, a couple of incidents in Walmart where they had one case, white boy had a MAGA hat on. That wasn't my problem with him. He didn't have a mask on, and there's a mask mandate in the city. And there's a fine if you don't wear the mask. So I told him, I said, you will put on your mask on. You can keep your MAGA hat on. You can put your mask on. Now, you want to know what black privilege is, Mr. Washington? Let me tell you what black privilege is. I got on the phone and called my classmate, who's the captain of this district of New Orleans police district. I said, they got one of these MAGA boys up and he don't want to wear a mask. Less than 1 minute, he sent the squad car there and he confronted him. So we got to save our fellow Americans' life. If you want to die, that's fine if you want to die, but you don't have a right to want somebody else to die. I'm finished with the Washington.
Okay, well, thank you so much. I just want to insert this. You know, the Constitution of the United States is the framework for our republic, which is also sometimes referred to as a democracy. It's not a real democracy because we have elected officials that represent the will of the people rather than direct vote for whatever. But the fact of the matter is that there have been times throughout our history where the constitutional rights have been actually put on the shelf in favor of the defense of this country during the Civil War, which was one of the first great tests. But even before that, I teach history, so I'm not going to give you a history lesson, but even before that, during the War of 1812, people had been subjected to having their constitutional rights usurped. Many people of foreign birth because of tensions between us and some other countries were arrested and held in detention for long periods of time, which was not really constitutional. They really had committed no crime. And even when we look at what happened to the Japanese in World War II, you know, their right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness was usurped when the President of the United States ordered their detention, and they were moved in many cases far away from familiar places and familiar faces, mm-hmm. and put in these detention camps for the duration of the war. And there can be other examples that I could tell you, but I won't. So, you know, the interesting thing about the Supreme Court is the Supreme Court, though we don't like to see it this way, is basically a very politicized body. And that's why a president, before leaving office or while they're in office, even with time left on their tenure, will try to put people on the court that will be favorable to their particular party's point of view. And so the thing about it is, it may be that in the future, you know, in the future, I'm not saying that this pandemic is going to last more than another few months. We hope it'll be over soon. But it may be that hopefully nobody on the court will die or become disabled where they can't function and have to be replaced. But this particular ruling can be overturned, just like the ruling of Brown versus the Topeka Board of Education overruled the previous ruling where separate but equal allow for segregated schools. So this is not fixed in stone, but for right now, it is put in a, I guess you might say, a set of handcuffs, for want of a better analogy, on state governors that as this pandemic rises and rises and rises, they will not be able to do what needs to be done to keep people from spreading the virus, and I think that's a sad thing. And even several people on the court, like Justice Sotomayor, she was very, very, I'm not going to say emotionally she was upset, but she wrote a dissenting opinion that attacked the fact that the court, the majority of the court, those five people that voted for being able to change the governor's ruling or his power to make that ruling, she said that the members of the court were not thinking about the health of the people. And if the government, whether it's the branches, judicial or legislative or executive, is not concerned about the welfare and health of the people, what is the purpose of them serving? You know, that's something I just want to throw in there. But I do want to go back
and
to
Mr. Washington.
Yes,
one more thing I meant to go. We already have cases of congregation members disproportionately dying around the same time. Even pastors and their wives dying. There are many stories around the country of churches where the pastors died because he contracted COVID, his wife died, and many members in the congregation within the span of a month or less have all died as a result. So it is pretty incredible that these conservative members on the court would put their fake patriotism over the welfare and safety and security, national security of the American people.
Exactly. And I'll say this and I'll pass it back to Ms. Bianchi. Ms. Bianchi, just give me 1 minute. You know, one of my favorite movies that y'all may not be familiar with, it came out about 20 years ago, and it deals with some young college people that were on Christmas vacation after their first semester of college. They knew each other growing up, and they were basically from upper-class backgrounds. And so during the Christmas season, they gathered together in each other's homes to have parties, and they even went to these grand events called debutante cotillions and dressed up in formal clothes and so forth. But one of the main scenes in there was the Christmas midnight mass. They were Episcopalians. The Episcopalians, as well as the Catholics, traditionally have celebrated what's called midnight mass on Christmas Eve. And in this particular scene, this is at a very large Episcopal church in New York City. I can't remember the name of it, but that's not really important. But it was very large, and it seemed like, you know, there was hundreds of people in there, shoulder to shoulder, doing this service. Now, this is probably going to be replicated in New York now because of this ruling. Had this ruling not come down from the Supreme Court, of this kind of activity where people would be bunched up together in not only that church, but many, many churches in New York, event probably would not, I know it probably would not have happened because it would have been illegal for it to happen. But now, because the green light has been given by the Supreme Court, then not all perhaps, but some of these churches are going to have these services where hundreds of people are going to be bunched up together, and I can only say that I am very much afraid that many people are going to die, actually die, painful, gruesome deaths, you know, as a result of the Supreme Court making this ruling and basically giving people a go-ahead to put themselves in these dangerous situations. But anyway, Ms. Bianchi, as I say, we're going to probably wrap up at 9 o'clock, so we only have about 20 minutes left, so we'll go around a couple more times. But what do you think, sir?
Well, Mr. Washington, is anyone forcing those people to go to that church?
I'm not going to answer that. That's an individual thing. I can't say what's making them do it. They may feel some peer pressure to go, but go ahead, continue, though, please.
Yeah, if nobody's making them, you know, you made mention of separate but equal. That was pertaining to public places. There are still organizations today that still use separate. You have some high school proms that's white only. It's not held on a public venue. It's held at a private venue. You got some high school proms that's black only under the same circumstances. That's what they wish. If I could see you, I could show you a lease agreement, and within the wording, it says no whites on the property. Within the last 13 years, it was written. So the courts are not supposed to make laws. I'm against judicial review. I think it's quite clear. It's interpreting the law as it applies to the Constitution. it's interpreting the rule as it applied to the statute that the legislative body put into effect. That's what it's about. That's all it should be. And there's a lot of statutes out there. If Calvin was on, he could attest to it. Because the statutes, the rules, under Part 91, Part 141, and I think Part 61, as it applies to aviation, has rules. And those rules were made by the director of the Federal Aviation Administration as he interpret the statute. Now, if you, Calvin, or myself, we're pilots, if we have a problem with one of those rules, then we can challenge it in court and saying that it goes against the ultimate document, and that's the Constitution. And you know another thing, too, on the viruses, and you have much research going on, which is fine. But what was the research and the professional opinion before there was medicine or an organized body of medical associates or doctors? The best researchers goes on within the human body itself. None other than the human body. And since the history of human genome, that mechanism has done a marvelous thing. Why? Because we're here today. Population used to travel around the world, explorers, not knowing what they would find. And in some cases, before the during the flat earth theory, they was afraid they were going to fall off the edge of the world. Until through science and innovation, they figured that the world was round. Better yet, it's a sphere. So when they came in contact with other populations, whatever their biological genome had produced based on the environment and geographical area that they exist and develop and evolve in, it had put into them an immunity that protected them. So when they went to other places where people was not exposed to what they was exposed to, guess what? It caused some damage. It transmitted diseases. But some people died and a lot of got over it. And those that got over it had a stronger yet immune system. It's just like in some third world countries, as we like to say. I don't like to call them that. But look at the continent of Africa, especially in the equatorial zones. COVID is not no problem for them and many other things that have came up of recent. Why is that? Because in their environment is not as sanitized as the environment that we live here in the United States. Therefore, you are not exposed to the things that they are, whereas their body had done what it's supposed to do, and that is protect them. You walk around with shoes on. Many of them walk around barefooted and with sandals where the soil can come in contact with their skin. They bathe in rivers. The water isn't chlorinated. It's natural. Where the elements in their water can come in contact with their skin and their body and do what it's supposed to do. A virus that has a 99-98% success rate when those that come down with it, I think it's pretty damn good. Just think, if your success rate was that great in buying lotto tickets or at the bingo hall, how better off would you be? Thank you, Mr. Washington.
Hey, thank you. We're getting close to the 15-minute mark before we'll close. I didn't want to say this and then to bring on a brother, Sheikh John Kennebell. I know you said you're tired, so if you don't want to, you know, comment, I understand that. And then we're going to Sister Stephanie. But I wanted to say something. About 4 or 5 days ago, I made a sad telephone call, sad in a way, because it was to order a grave marker for one of my nieces who passed a couple of years ago, and her mother took a while before she was ready to inter her cremains. And so finally, about a year ago, we did that. And so I just here in the last week or so was able to go ahead and order a marker for her grave spot. And I had some questions, or I wanted to make sure that the funeral director, who was a very close friend of mine, had her dates of birth and death correct, so I could get that information to him if he needed me to give it to him. And he was supposed to call me back the next day after he verified whether he had the information he needed to put on the marker or to have put on the marker. And since I hadn't heard from him, first thing that came on my mind is, I hope he didn't get sick from COVID. I hope that somebody close to him didn't get sick from COVID. I hope he didn't have to bury or funeralize somebody as a result of the COVID, because it was probably somebody that I know. Because the little town that I come from, most of the folks that he would probably be funeralizing are people that I probably grew up with, people that I know, or at least I know their families. So, you know, even though I don't hopefully have to grieve over anyone that's personally attached to me, I still feel in a very, very personal way the pain of others. And so I am concerned that, as I mentioned about this scenario of this midnight mass, that now people are going to probably, for whatever reason, ignore safety precautions. And, you know, in these services, people sing. And I doubt, nurses, if everybody wants to be heard or wants to express themselves, is going to keep their mask on while they're singing. And I just see this being a green light for a very, very big spreading of this pandemic. And I know you're right, Mr. Bianchi. I'm not a virologist, and I'm not an infectious disease doctor or specialist. I know very little, even though I went to medical school. But the level of medical training that I had was far short of someone that works in that field. But I do know from common sense that what you're saying is true. But we don't want to do what had been suggested early on, is to let so many people get sick, possibly die, to develop a herd immunity before we feel that it's safe to go around and not worry about dying from the virus. We have to take proactive steps to protect ourselves and the people we love. And I think that's what the governor of New York was trying to do. And one further thing, and that is the fact that, you know, during the Second World War, even before the Second World War, during the Depression, President Roosevelt did a number of things that were later ruled by the Supreme Court to have been unconstitutional. But you know what? That saved a whole lot of people from starving to death. Those so-called unconstitutional things saved a lot of people from a lot of pain and suffering. So even though what he did may not have been, quote-unquote, legal, constitutionally-wise, I feel that it was the right thing to do. And then that's a conversation we can have for another time, is what's legal always what's right? And is what's right always necessarily going to be legal? But we'll discuss that philosophical issue some other time. So we're right down to the 10-minute mark, so we have a chance to go around maybe one more time. So if you'd like to comment, say, John, I know you're tired, but if you'd like to comment, please feel free to go ahead and do so.
Again, I'm listening Last week when that brother Hugh Moore spoke, he got in some areas in reference to health and disease that I was very curious and want to hear more about. And it kind of dealt with the dead body. I know you mentioned a person who is a film director working with these dead bodies. Is he subject to additional risk because of that? But I will hold my comment on that. I do have some information that may be controversial to some people, so I want to hear all ideas first before I even make reference to that.
Mr. Bay.
Yes.
Happy holiday.
Brother Matt?
Yes,
he said
happy holiday to you and your family.
Thank you. I appreciate you as well.
Yes, sir. Okay, well, we'll come back so you'll have a chance to fill us in on the rest of the information, and we'll go into my sister-in-law. Stephanie, what do you say?
I think I'm very sleepy, but no disrespect. I was already like that before we began the show. So I just want to say for everyone to continue to be blessed, continue to be safe, and continue to stay prayed up. Thank you.
Okay, Stephanie, thank you very much. And we're going around the table just one more time. And so, Brother Warren, would you like to add more to the comments that you have already made, or introduce something else you'd like for us to talk about in our last? We got about 7 minutes left, actually.
Yeah, closing remarks. Everyone, go on YouTube and type this video in. Trump is gone, a comedy quartet. It's like a gospel song about Trump being gone. It's very funny, and it's being sent all over. So somebody sent it to me today. It's called Trump is Gone, Comedy Quartet. So everybody should check that out on YouTube. I also want to remind you, Mr. Washington, look up the Shiloh Baptist Church Stampede. That was 1902, where your great-grandfather spoke, and somebody got into it with a choir person over a chair, and somebody yelled fight, and they thought it was fire. And there was a stampede, and about 100 people died. They had to clear the bodies out of the church and have some kind of relief fund. I want to also talk about COVID in Africa. COVID in Africa, many people have been amazed at the low amount of deaths of COVID. However, COVID is still spreading in Africa. And we have to remember that African countries, many of them have a lot of scares with outbreaks. So they are prepared. They have educated medical personnel that are following the World Health Organization recommendations. The governments know that they cannot allow for this to spread any more than anything else, because it could be very devastating on the population and the strain on the government. Cuba, for example, which is less than 90 miles from Florida, virtually has wiped out their COVID. They also have a vaccine on them that was for trial as well. Now, in the United States, people are crying about their rights, and so on and so forth. But when it comes to the police jacking up black people, you don't hear those people all of a sudden. In fact, you start hearing them justifying why blacks should be stopped and harassed by the police. What hypocrisy of these patriots they are. And the laughing stock of the United States is that these freedoms we say we enjoy is showing to be the weakness in this country, because this thing is spreading, there are more deaths, and the person sitting on a lawn chair with a little Bloody Mary saying, oh, well, it's not as bad as it's going to be. It's going to be some deaths, you know, need to go to therapy and get a shot dose of reality. People are hurting. People are dying. It's impacting the economy in a very negative way. It's impacting businesses, restaurants. So as long as there's a spread of COVID, who wants to crowd into a restaurant? So on and so forth. So the continent of Africa, again, have educated medical personnel, people who've gotten their medical degrees, public health graduate degrees, whether it's in Europe, the United States, and Africa. are implementing the scientific protocols that have been laid out for pandemics, and the island nation of Cuba of 11 million people that this great nation is trying to strangle and smother pretty much has defeated the virus. Thank you, Mr. Washington.
Okay, well, thank you. What we're going to do, since we only have less than 5 minutes left, we're going to invite Brother John Kennebay, who did have some more he wanted to add to his previous comment. And then, and Stephanie, if you would like to say something, then you could chime in after him, and then let we're going to ask Mr. Pianke to close out the show with the with closing comments. So, Brother Sheikh John, would you like to make a further addendum to what you were saying?
I say that cremation has its value, and one of the value that has been said is prevent the recycle of diseases. So, if that being true, that means that the bodies that already been buried in the ground, there's a process that must be done to purify it. And I would not bring forth that because of controversy right now. At some other point, go for the that it's something to think about. To think about the what occurs to the disease in the body, and where you put the body. Put in the ground, then the ground has to, the Mother Earth has to find a way of neutralizing it. And if you burn it, the fire sort of purifies it. So it's a entering into the equation, the effect of the body that dies of diseases and what occurs with the disease after the person dies.
Okay, thank you so much for that information. Stephanie, would you like to make a closing comment? We're about ready to finish for this evening's show. Would you like to make a closing comment?
Oh, no, thank you.
Okay. Get you some rest, my dear. And tell Mark, we said again, happy Thanksgiving. Even though the day is over, we're still, you know, enjoying the meal, so we're still in Thanksgiving spirit. So, Ms. Pianke, as our co-host, we'd like for you to wrap us up tonight with any closing comments that you would like to make. So it's your show. You go ahead and you continue if you want to.
Yeah, I was going to tell Stephanie happy holidays to her, too. But, you know, Mr. Bay, you just put out a good point.
Well, thank you. Same to you and yours.
Yes. Mr. Bay, you just put out a great point. And it is factual. Because things really don't go away. The diseases and plagues and bacteria they call plagues, still is around, especially in the soil and in the desert sands where you had lakes dry up. Well, those organisms just have went into remission. And if you have a body that dies from something that's highly contagious, well, that's decomposed by the organisms in the soil. And they chop and feast on that. And by them going about doing their business, they are just surplanting that bacteria in different places. It's still around. It kind of reminds me of how birds would eat seeds of a fruit and go fly off someplace and deposit those seeds by way of defecation. That's a natural way of nature preserving itself. Whether it's good things that's good for some and bad for others, or whether it's bad things that's bad for some and good for others, that's just the way it works. That's the way the ancients call it. When they talked about septeti. But anyway, time would tell, as it has always. And you know, there's greater things that's going to come to this planet, but that can be for another discussion. Mr. Washington, you have a pleasant rest of your holiday. May you be safe, and may your family grow well.
Well, thank you so much. We appreciate those well wishes. And I say to all of you, may you have a safe remainder of the rest of this year as we approach the holiday season. May your family members all be safe. And I just want to make this announcement, not to call attention to myself for selfish reasons, but next week, bring your thoughts and whatever you may want to talk about. I'll look at the news during the week and see what's prevalent in the news. But anything that you want to discuss, bring it on. And to let you know that next Saturday the show will only go until 9 o'clock because next Saturday is my 77th birthday. So I'm not going to spend as much time in the family room as I normally do, you know, because of the occasion of my little birthday celebration at home. But I want y'all to join us because we do look forward every weekend to sharing, you know, with you this opportunity to get together in this virtual family room. So thank you for our closing comments. Mr. Pianki, thank all of you. Thank you, Brother Sheikh John Kenan Bay. Thank you, Sister Stephanie. Thank you, Brother Warren, and all of you who were listening via the internet. Please stay safe. Please continue to enjoy the love and fellowship of your family, friends, and loved ones. And God bless you all as we close out with our traditional song, Lift Every Voice and Sing.